Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. You must be pondering some fantasy sports questions. Well, good news, because you just turned into another episode of Keepers, Sleepers, and Creepers with John and Paul. All right, John, let's give the people what they want.
They want baseball.
They want football. We're already getting more listens on our football podcast, and it's a shame, because baseball is the fantasy sport.
I think if you're looking to be competitive and win money and be consistent in a fantasy sport and dominate all other people, Baseball is the way to do it.
And if you, it's based on stats. Baseball is a game of stats, and numbers fantasy driven. Is driven by stats.
100%.
So it's the most accurate. But for all y'all football people, we'll keep appeasing. But for our baseball people, we keep appreciating you and keep strong. It's great. It's a long season, but it's perfect for fantasy.
It really is.
And we're a week away from playoffs, so hopefully you're in the playoffs, or you wouldn't probably be listening, or you're just tuning in because you like to listen to us talk. Hopefully you're going into the playoffs with a bye. It helps out a lot in baseball. So
it's true. And even kind of with what we were proving this year, auto draft almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because at least in my auto draft league, I have officially flipped barely into first place at this point in the season, and I didn't have a guarantee that my team was even going to turn out okay.
Right.
So it's all about managing and being able to make the right decisions, and that's what will get you here.
Yep, and same with my auto draft league. It's cruising into whatever it's roto, so it's first place, it's cruising into the end of the season, I guess. But then my big league, first place right now, so we'll see how we finish up there. It's a close race, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But thanks for tuning in to Keepers, Sleepers, Creepers for our last regular season for most people episodes. Keepers, Sleepers, Creepers, we'll just talk about how it is right now. Keepers being people that you want to keep and hold on to in this playoff push. They're legit. They could be borderline owning, and we're telling you to hold on to them. Don't let them go to the other people. Sleepers being people that you might want to give them a run in playoffs. They may be worth it. Stream them. Go for that. And Creepers, people that you don't really need to count on. Maybe cut them. You can't really trade anymore. But I just don't buy it. We don't buy it. So that's the gist. And to honor the KSC, Keeper, Sleeper, Creeper, we start with Keepers. And John, who do you keep?
I think the first guy I'm going to talk about is the most important guy to keep an eye on. And arguably, he could be a sleeper or a keeper, but I'm going to put him in the keeper category just because I believe in what his minor league numbers are telling me, plus how he's played in the very early goings for all of this. He's owned 47% of leagues, and his name is Gavin Lux, Los Angeles Dodgers shortstop. Age 21, high prospect in their minor league system, and both in AA and AAA. He hit .347 with 26 home runs and 76 RBI this year, with .392 in AAA. So he's hitting better in AAA than he even did in AA this season. He's projected to be an average hitter, as good as an average hitter when it comes to batting average going forward with his minor league profile. But I think he should just be able to hit from a really high average in general. He'll be able to chip in some home runs here and there. With 26 home runs so far this year, that's pretty dang good. But he only had 15 last year. So he's not a pure power hitter, but he looks complete. He was able to steal a few bases down there. Not a true stolen base guy. But I'm very interested. I think he needs to be owned in most leagues. At least more than 47% from an intrigue standpoint. And just see how he plays. And I think he's going to work out for you. I think he might be a great person down the stretch at shortstop.
And I'll go ahead and mention him because I got him as a sleeper in my writing up. So, yeah, he's got plus power, plus speed, really complete. But the problem is the Dodgers lineup is just so crowded. And you can't really count if you're going to cut a shortstop and this is going to be your guy in the fantasy playoffs. You can't really do that since right now their plan is to platoon him and play him only against righties. So you really can't sacrifice at-bats. He looks solid, but at the same time there's some other shortstops people out there that you may want to take a run for first, in my opinion, and just you only get six, and in most competitive leagues, only six transactions. So you can't really just keep streaming a shortstop every time Gavin Lux has a day off or there's a lefty on the mound. So it kind of puts you in a tough spot. So if they let him play more often, or if it's a week full of righties, then go ahead. But right now in the fantasy playoffs, unless it's a dynasty, you definitely want Gavin Lux. He shouldn't have been there, but yeah.
That's a fair point.
So
that's a fair point. So we'll see. Especially if you're in one of the leagues, I would completely agree on that standpoint of it's pitcher focused, or the counting stats for pitching are very heavily weighted, where it's hard to warrant holding on to a lot of bench spots for your offense. Then Gavin Lux is definitely not for that league, just because like you said, playing time is going to be an issue. You want consistent playing time in the playoffs because volume of playing time is going to result in almost maybe even twice as valuable as production in some cases. So.
This is where you start letting people walk in close matchups. You gotta cut them. They got you this point, but it's time to let them go. If they don't have a strong schedule at the end of the season, or if they're slumping, sadly, it may be time.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So back to our keepers. Who's another keeper?
Another one I feel much more intrigued about, because I think he's a true keeper, is Nick Castellanos. He's owned in 90% of leagues, and his preseason ranking wasn't overly high. He's kind of close to that 100 mark in a lot of leagues, but he's been playing so good right now. 345 batting average with 6 home runs and 16 RBI in the last 14 days. He's got up his numbers to a 288 and 16 home runs, 57 RBI, 2 stolen bases on the season. And he's just been really good since he's gotten to Chicago. I mean, he's a high floor guy with a pretty decent batting average, but he's been hitting tons of home runs since he got here. 12 in the 31 games since he's moved away from Detroit. And he's been citing the fact that he left Detroit as the reason why he's playing so well. Mm-hmm. So I think he's great to have in the lineup. He's going to be a perfect third outfielder for any fantasy team. Hopefully you have him, and I'm a true believer that he's going to be very helpful in this playoff push.
Yeah, it's been nice since he's gotten to the Cubs. He's really found his own, which we were talking about all season long.
Yeah, you were on that.
Yeah, I believed in the man. But another guy I'm going to mention, to make room on your roster, because when a Yankee is healthy, they hit. That's been the motto this whole season. And now Edwin Encarnacion is back. It puts you in a fickle spot. Not really, you know, any position eligibility you're going to ring home about, sadly, for Edwin Encarnacion. But on the season, 75 runs scored, 30 home runs, 76 RBIs, and batting 240. And his profile is profiled a lot better since he's got to New York, so it makes his numbers even more legit. The power is he's coming back from the problem is, monitor his power, because he's coming back from that wrist fracture. So I don't cut him. I make room for him when he comes off this IL. He's off of it, so make room for him. But if he's not hitting the ball very strongly, it may be time to cut bait in the playoffs, because there's some thumpers that you can get. Even Gavin Lux is somebody that we talked about sleeper-wise that you can platoon there. But I would definitely make room for Edwin, because when they're healthy in New York, they hit.
Yeah, pretty much everybody. And Edwin's hit almost everywhere he's gone for the last 7 years, right, from a home run perspective.
Right.
Yeah, batting average won't be a star-studded sort of stat, but that's not why you have him. So I agree with you. I think he could be very valuable.
Yeah. It's all off of that wrist holds up and he can get power behind it.
Yeah, because we've seen that before with certain people, like even Teixeira or something a while back, where wrist injuries really sapped his power.
Yeah.
But we'll see. If he's healthy, you'd like to think he's actually healthy.
Right.
But maybe they need him for the push and they're rushing him back. It's hard to say.
It's just a shame. And it pretty much, I think, will eliminate Mike Ford from being useful, who is hitting the ball well every time out. But
yeah, that's all right. Stinks. Really loaded at the first base / DH position there in New York.
I'm surprised Voit made it back this season.
Yeah, so that is surprising.
All right.
I got one more keeper, though. I'm going to go with Matt Chapman. He's another guy kind of like Castellanos, but it's just for a different reason. So he's owned 87% of leagues, had a great season so far, 259 batting average, 30 home runs, 75 RBI, and a stolen base. But right now, in the last 14 days, he's hitting 233 with 2 home runs, 8 RBI, and a stolen base. So that's his only one on the season. So don't expect many more of those going forward. But his advanced profile is still so excellent. Even though he's only hitting 233 recently, I would not panic at all. I think his power numbers are definitely for real. I think he gets up to 35 easy for home runs by the end of the season. Oakland looks like the team itself is getting more healthy all around him, with so many people coming back from injury. And you'd like to think that Chris Davis will be getting it right soon in the playoffs. I'm not positive about that, but you'd like to think so. So I'm just really confident in the Athletics third baseman going into the playoffs. I think he might be a real stud for you.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and stick with that team for another one of my keepers, and that's Ramon Laureano, coming back from a stress reaction in his right chin. Lots of activity on that leg. He's been amping it up, running really well. He should be returned really soon to this lineup, probably this weekend. And he's just really put together a solid profile. He was a little bit, you know, hot or cold to start the season, but he's put it together to the tune of a 67 run, 21 home run, 58 RBI, 12 stolen base, and that's what I like him for, batting 284. I don't expect power all the time in Oakland. He does have plus power and hard hit percentage when it comes to his advanced profile, But really, I like his speed as well at that. He's a nice, pretty much he's becoming a five-category guy, slightly. So I really like him. He's not owned very highly, and coming off the IL, I'd make a room for him. And on that note, somebody that's owned a lot more highly is Carlos Correa, and the reports haven't been super, super positive, but it looks like he's about a week to maybe even more like 2 weeks out with his back injury. You just don't want to drop this guy because it's all about the playoffs now. You really want to make an IL spot for him because he can. If you drop him, there's a good chance you could be playing against him in the fantasy playoffs. And it would hurt your soul so hard if you drop this guy and he comes back and beats you in the championship game. So you really want to hold on to him because he's the kind of guy that can come back and give you middle infield power consistently and help you get that week.
I would completely agree on both accounts. Laureano's very interesting. Like you said, I'm not thrilled about his home run projection numbers, but everything else seems so legit, and he's going to give you some power. I mean, the launch angle is good. His caught stealing ratio is also excellent. He could be a five-tool guy for Oakland, I agree. But when it comes to Correa, a thing that we haven't really talked a whole lot about is if you're looking to cut ties with him because you're getting impatient and you feel like you might be in a really tough matchup in the first round of the playoffs, keep in mind that from other people's perspectives, and a lot of these websites that you're playing fantasy baseball on, the moment Correa hits free agency, if anyone opens the players tab, he's immediately the highest owned person, immediately the highest projected person, mm-hmm. and immediately will be looked at from everyone in the league. So there's no way he goes under the radar if you cut him, or there's a chance for you to get him back. You're going to be at the bottom of the waiver order for getting him that same way, because you can't even put a waiver claim in for the person that you cut in most leagues. So just be very cautious of that. I completely agree, because he could be a game changer in the playoffs for you. So I wouldn't say panic. I would try to wait it out if you can.
Yeah, I really, really would, unless you're in a really tough spot, because you got to win the week. But at the same time, who are you going to pick up that can replace Carlos Correa and actually make a meaningful difference?
I mean, at this point, if you're in a pretty competitive league, 3 days of Correa is probably better than a whole week of most shortstops you're going to get around free agency. So right. Even if you're taking a little bit of a hit in playing time, the impact he makes is so much.
Especially if you got an IL spot. I don't even know who you're stashing at this point in the season that you can't make room for him. But right. Just hold on to him.
That's a very good point as well.
Sleepers then. And I already mentioned my one, and you can go ahead and mention yours.
Sure. I'm going to go with a guy that we haven't really talked too much about. I think I mentioned him a few weeks ago. Sean Manea. Owned in 44% of leagues. Before the injury, which is why he's been on the IL slot for a large portion of the season, he's owned in 44% of leagues, but he was an above-average fantasy starter for 3 years for Oakland, and I think it's pretty safe to expect him to be that going forward if he's coming back legitimately healthy. Mm-hmm. He had a great first start with 5 shutout innings coming back off of the IL, which is great. I just think he's very interesting, and I think pretty much his last couple of years, he's around the 3.5 to 3.7 sort of area from an ERA perspective, and with all Oakland's improvements, it just makes him even more intriguing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I did starting pitcher stuff, he would have a lot of intrigue to it, because he's always had the potential and the pedigree, so mm-hmm. I dig you. Well, here's a name I'm going to mention when I said monitor the power of Edwin Encarnacion, because there's some thumpers you can get, and really, this guy has been an unappreciated thumper this whole season. And, you know, you said go ahead and pick up Gavin Lux. He's a keeper, although he's a platooner. Well, this guy platoons, but when he plays, he's almost a must-start. Mm. And that's Jock Peterson. And 30 home runs on the season for being a platoon player is just amazing. So his power is so legit. If you need a power boost, he is totally worth it. Just monitor his schedule and play him when, because when he plays, he is very efficient. Not only with the home runs, but those home runs turn into a run immediately, plus the RBI, but also just the runs he scores by being at the top of that Dodgers lineup, usually when he starts, too. He's only batting 242, but I have a better gut feeling about him hitting more home runs for the rest of the season than Edwin Encarnacion. It'll be close. I like both of them. I'm telling you to keep Edwin Encarnacion, but Jock Peterson deserves an ad if you need some power and you got an extra bench spot, because he's going to give you more counting stats than most randos that you got at the end of your bench, and definitely other people in the free agency.
I mean, that's a really good point. If you can check your roster before the game time start and you have a bench spot available for him, he may be the most efficient home run hitter the rest of the season, because he's red hot right now, which is what you're looking for. If you can get these hot players rolling into the playoffs, you might get yourself a fantasy playoff MVP, and Jock Peterson can certainly be one of those. I agree.
Cool.
I'm going to go with another power hitter that's going to hurt you with average a little bit, and he's unfortunately cooling off a bit from what he was the other day, but that's Miguel Sano. He's owned in 58% of leagues, but his average exit velocity is second in the league behind Aaron Judge and in front of Nelson Cruz. If you're surrounded by those sorts of power hitters with the numbers of how hard you're hitting the ball this season, I'm very much interested. His launch angle is at 16 degrees, which is a pretty good place to be at. And that projects for hard hit at the right angle, lots of home runs. His batting average is obviously not going to be anywhere near the top tier like his home run chances are. His strikeout rate's not going to be great either by any means. But if you're looking for a cheap power option, he's available in a fair amount of leagues at 58%. He's only hitting 235, but I think on the season, but my goodness, you want to talk about power and usefulness going into the playoffs? First and third base eligibility, you could do much worse with Miguel Sano. I think he needs to be owned in almost all league formats in at least some league. As long as you're not running a batting average focused team where he's going to hurt you too much there.
Man, you're loving the Sano. You keep hearing John pop his name up there. He hasn't been available in my leagues in forever, so maybe that's why I feel like he's not on any radars. But
I think in one of mine, he's still available, but it's hard for me to cut some of the people that I've stored up.
Yeah. Competitive leagues are very fun, but at the same time, it's like, man, I wish I had them. But I'll mention another name, and it's if you miss out on the Jeff McNeil contest, you can get a much cheaper version of that man up in Pittsburgh right now. You're a little bit, you hear these reports on leg tightness, but it's okay. I think he's going to be fine. Kevin Newman, really good season. He doesn't have the power potential that Jeff McNeil has, which is why he's not owned, because he just doesn't hit the ball hard, but I'm not really concerned about that because every other stat that he does proves that he is an average hitter. He is a very good average hitter. So he's batting .313 on the season, and what I really like about him is he has wonderful speed. So .313, 13 stolen bases, and really those stolen bases don't indicate how fast he is. So as he becomes more comfortable as a base runner, I think you're even going to get more steals out of Kevin Newman, and he's not going to hurt you average-wise, period. He makes great contact, so with 47 runs scored even in Pittsburgh, and he's chimed in 52 RBIs, which is kind of impressive if you look at some of these other stats elsewhere. So
very impressive.
I like this man, and I think he is well worth it at shortstop. I would personally go for him over Lux just because you know he's playing every single day. But that's just my kind of cup of tea. So
I think that's fair. I also have I have Kevin Newman on my list, but it's more of a I don't disagree with you. I think right now he's absolutely worth an add. But I just want to temper your expectations because right now he's, like you said, hitting .313 on the season, and that is not a mirage. It's very legit.
Right.
But he's the fifth ranked player over the last 14 days in the whole fantasy baseball landscape. His power profile is pretty dang rough, so I don't know how many more home runs you're going to get than the 10 that he's at. But that doesn't make him a bad acquisition. So I just say temper your expectations a little bit. Stolen bases should keep coming in. RBIs are a little hard to get, not because he's not hitting the ball well, but just because Pittsburgh's offense isn't great. But if you want some stolen bases and batting average, Newman is certainly going to help you there, and a lot of teams could use that help.
Totally. Well, there's the keeper sleeper portion. Now it's time for the creeper portion.
Yes.
So, we talked about the uglies, and real quick, Josh Rojas, I want to actually throw out on the Diamondbacks. He is totally a sleeper, and I actually like him more than Kevin Newman and Gavin Lux. Second base shortstop and outfield eligibility, look at his profile, it's beautiful. The reason he's not owned very much is that when he was the prospect coming up, and we hyped him up, and we didn't hype him up, we just said, keep an eye on him, he's a sleeper. He started off in such a big slump, but now if you look at his stats, he's been tearing the ball up, and he's available pretty much everywhere. Playing in Arizona as his home field, we talked about that back when we mentioned him as a sleeper earlier on, in a pretty decent lineup. Definitely look to Josh Rojas, I think, before either of those two guys, personally.
Okay. I'll even throw in a similar guy from a one more sleeper a little bit. That's Aaron Civale, Cleveland starting pitcher, owning 54% of leagues. His actual stat line is excellent so far in the season with 3 wins, 1.94 ERA, 1.03 WHIP, 34 Ks in 41 innings. Each of his last 6 starts, he's been under 3 ERA, so I look at him like, ooh, this guy is quite good, but I wouldn't get your hopes up too much because a lot of his stuff is the problem. Mm-hmm. He's been pitching fantastic from a technical standpoint, but he's a little bit limited. Saval's lone plus pitch is his cutter slider on the scouting reports, and he throws that at 85 to 88 miles per hour. And his four-seam fastballs in the fringy low 90s area. But the counter argument is he's pretty effective because he has a great high spin rate on it and he commands it well. So because even though his curveball and changeup don't stand out, I think he's just a good pitcher. So he's a guy I would be willing to roster and then ride him out a little bit. But if he gets rocked in one game, I think it's the end of a nice little streak here because people will start to figure out him out a little bit better.
All right. Well, now let's keep him, you know, kept him on a cliff there. Creepers. Yeah. I'm going to start with three guys that have just really been creepy all season long to me. I'll start with the injury-prone Adam Eaton. With a bad bone bruise being reported now, less than stellar profile that he's given you all season long. I mean, he's given you a decent stat line up to this point, but much to be desired. I'm not playing this guy confidently and thinking he's going to give me anything back on a day-to-day basis in my roster. If he does play, who knows what this bad bone bruise kind of means for the rest of the season. So I personally am dropping Adam Eaton for any of the names I've mentioned this far, gladly, and some other names too that we didn't mention.
I'd say that's fair. Adam Eaton's always had a horrible injury history.
Yeah.
And, yeah, confidence isn't the word that I'd use to describe him. Another guy I'm kind of struggling on, we talked about him a while ago, and the funny thing is almost nothing has changed, so it's kind of funny to me that I look at his own rate and it hasn't dropped at all, and that's Victor Robles.
Yeah.
Owning 77% of leagues, awful advanced stat profile. Mm-hmm. About as bad as you could draw one up.
Mm-hmm. He's just fast.
He is just super fast.
And I do appreciate he's a great fielder, but he's horrible at the plate.
If you have defensive categories, of course this guy should be owned. Mm-hmm. But, oh my goodness, 80-mile-per-hour exit velocities in the bottom six of all players in Major League Baseball. But he's had 16 home runs and 24 stolen bases, I think, on the season. And I would have to double-check that to be sure. But basically, I just don't think he lives up to the general power numbers that he's gotten so far this year, and it seems like a huge mirage.
Yeah.
Right now, he is not a five-tool player. He is basically, to me, a two-tool player when it comes to defense and stolen base ability. I think his batting average isn't very reliable either, and owned at 77% almost kind of hurts staring at it because I just think it's very unlikely that he continues to put that up throughout the season because I don't even know how he's gotten this far on what he's doing.
I mean, if you're listening to us and you have Robles, we're not mad at you. We may be a little bit disappointed.
That's true.
But if Newman or Laureano is hanging around in the free agency and you're wanting somebody that can give you a stolen base, then go pick them up right now. They're absolutely much better. Mm-hmm. And if you need an outfielder, even Rojas, who I was talking about, gives you outfield eligibility, and I really like that guy. So any of those people would be solid ads over Victor Robles, who I just do not have any faith in for the rest of the season. And along with that, a name that keeps coming up on our creeper list. When I did my prep for this episode on Tuesday, Paul DeJong was batting a paltry .095 over the last 7 days. Two runs scored, zero home runs, three RBIs, and no stolen bases. I mean, his season-long stat line still looks decent. Not fantasy. I don't think it's fantasy worthwhile, but just an awful profile. And all these shortstops that we mentioned, Lux, Newman, Rojas, all these shortstops, much better potential, and even people we mentioned in previous episodes with Freddie Galvis, who's just played in a wonderful ballpark now, and he's taken advantage of it. Just, there's so many names out there. All three of these guys, Eaton, Robles, and DeJong, are so overowned, I don't even understand.
I completely agree. I mean, it's funny that DeJong has hit like two home runs in the other day to try to prove us wrong, but don't get caught up in the hype.
Right.
Because basically DeJong was a guy I bought into earlier on in the season, and I will fully admit that I don't believe in him at all going forward. Like you said, his advanced profile has fell down through the toilet, even though it looked pretty good for a minute there. His home runs all came in a bunch at the beginning of the season, bloating up that number. He only has 6 stolen bases on the year. The only thing that helps him is the lineup he's hitting in.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has a lot of RBI, considering he hasn't produced very well consistently. So I'm thinking that it's just going to be difficult for him to make himself very useful unless you really just want RBI and you're willing to sacrifice batting average, and I don't know many leagues where that's going to be ever relevant.
Yeah.
But I'll throw in one more guy, a blast from the past, Lorenzo Cain. I just don't think he should be owned in 74% of leagues at this point. He's still rated at .442 on the season. He's losing tons of playing time to the young, exciting outfielder that they brought up for the Brewers. What's his name, though? I can't even remember off the top of my head. It starts with a G.
It's all right.
Apologies. I should know. He's way more interesting than Kane to begin with, if you wanted to pick up somebody. Mm-hmm. But considering that Kane hasn't dressed, or has only dressed in two of his last, like, seven games, is a bad indicator, considering it's a veteran presence on a team looking to go for it on the season. He's only hitting 250 with 8 home runs and 16 stolen bases on the season for a guy that you were really hoping would hit you about 300 with about 24 to 30 stolen bases at this point in the season. So I think he's pretty criminally overowned, and I was hoping he would snap out of it when he was hitting for a little bit better batting average. Definitely telling you, fold on him. He's just not going to make it worth it for you.
Yeah, I never wavered on that position. You wavered.
I did. I thought he was a terrible draft pick, and then I thought he was being cut in too many leagues because of the great lineup I thought he was playing in. And then that lineup faltered and a couple injuries happened, and there he is, just underachieving all the way around.
Yeah, I've been done with him for quite some time. We talked about that other dude as a sleeper, too, and he's just mind blank
like
on me.
Grisham?
Yeah, it is. Something like that.
Trent Grisham, is that right?
Yeah, that actually sounds 100% right.
It's Trent Grisham, yes.
Mm-hmm. So there, we resolve that.
He's only owned in 6% of leagues, but to me, I see more excitement there. But he's losing playing time to other outfielders there as well. They're just a little too loaded. So I'm not saying playoff MVP, but I'm just trying to frame it for you. Right. I think they have the same amount of intrigue.
Kane's owned that much, and he's not playing every day. So if you're looking for an effective platoon player, go pick up Peterson, like we just talked about. He'll give you much better stats for the rest of the season in a platoon situation.
100% agree.
But since next week is starting playoffs, and, you know, We do our double plays. I hope you don't count on them too much. We could mention, you know, some things, but we wanted to talk fantasy MVPs, where it's people we're really proud of going into these playoffs that you should be proud that you own. Both of mine were people that I really wanted to get, so I wanted to do this segment just to talk about them, how I was so close to landing two trades for these guys, but we never came to an agreement. I'm interested to hear John's, but two guys that just sounds studly going into playoffs that you should feel good about. Who's one that you came up with as a fantasy MVP?
Number one is a guy that I somehow got so lucky to get the other day, and that's Nelson Cruz. He was on the IL a minute ago for, I forget what the even issue was. Was it knee or?
No, it's his wrist.
Wrist, that's right. You're right. And it looked like it might be kind of bad, but then the reports came back much more positive than people thought. He came back, and he's just been so good all season. Mm-hmm. I just can't believe he's hitting for the batting average that he is with the power. He's just absolutely shattered all of my expectations coming in through the season. I was down on him because I thought his age would catch up to him. That is definitely not the case. But there aren't many people that are going to give you such a good batting average and home run rate going into the playoffs on a good offense. And if you want a little more proof, he leads the league in barrel percentage per plate appearance at 12.9%. So that is exceptionally encouraging to hear that he's barreling it up consistently, hitting it hard, great exit velocity. I believe I mentioned earlier he was third in exit velocity on the season. What's not to like about Nelson Cruz at this point?
And it's probably batted ball events more than plate appearances on that stat, but
oh,
yeah,
I think
it's incredible.
Correct. Yeah.
Both of my guys were people I couldn't get if I couldn't prelude to it. I tried so hard. I even turned down some, you know, negotiated trades that they proposed to me, including these guys. I think I wish I would have bit on both of them. But Juan Soto, and you may think, wow, this guy hates the Nationals for talking bad about Eaton and Robles. But Soto, on the last 30 days, again, I got these stats on Tuesday. I stand by him. It's the last 30 days. 30 runs scored, 10 home runs, 24 RBIs, 4 stolen bases, and batting .327. And I haven't been so impressed with this dude's profile all season long. I thought he may have a slump, sophomore slump, but he's looked great. If you have him, know that I couldn't get him, and I tried really hard, and he's going to carry you.
You want to talk about
looking good. And I guess since I got the floor, I'll keep going.
Sure.
The other dude I tried so hard to get on the Nationals, desperately, because he's so unappreciated, is Anthony Rendon. And he, in the last 30 days, just as impressive, if not more. 25 runs scored, 8 home runs, 27 RBIs, 2 stolen base, but batting .408. Both of those guys are just killing the ball, crushing the ball, and I've loved them all season long. After the free... I didn't love Juan Soto on the preseason as much. I didn't hate him, but I've been trying all season long to snake these people away. Just couldn't do it this year. They wouldn't bite. Savvy owners, good call. Not taking my trades.
Yeah. I mean, I can't disagree with them. They're both so good. The real studs of the Nationals organization now that Bryce Harper is gone, and arguably they're both better than him, period.
They're both better than him, period. Yeah, they're much better hitters.
So it's just kind of funny. So, yeah, they're both great. Rendon was a hero for me a few years ago, and I'll always stand by him because of his consistency. Like, he has upside, but his floor is so high from a major league player over the last 4 or 5 years.
And right.
Man, he's been so good. And speaking of people with high floors, that's my man, Jose Abreu. Chicago White Sox first baseman. He's owned in 97% of leagues, ranked 62 on the season. 28 home runs, 282 batting average, 104 RBI, which is really, really excellent for the White Sox lineup. I thought that'd be a weakness for him this year. And 2 stolen bases. He's third in the league for number of balls hit over 95 miles per hour off the bat. And his launch angle is only at 10 degrees, which is probably the only thing limiting his home run numbers further. But to me, he's sixth in the league in RBIs, and he's helping out in batting average. There's just not many first basemen that you could be more happy about, in my opinion, going into the playoffs with. There is a tier higher than him. I won't lie. But there's only four of the top 30 players are first basemen this year. And four first baseman players above him have second baseman eligibility. So basically, if you're missing out on a couple of those really top tier guys, most of them are getting played at second base because they have second base eligibility, like Whit Merrifield and Max Muncy and these people where you probably are budgeting for them to be at second base, not first. I know it doesn't really truly change that for him being, should be way up higher, but looking at a guy ranked at 62, consistent career, good home run numbers, good batting average, good RBI amounts. I'm really pleased with Jose Abreu. I think you're getting a guy that's going to help you a lot in the playoffs with him as well.
I did not see your two coming.
Really?
Yeah. When I asked you a fantasy MVP, I never thought you'd say Jose Abreu. Never. Yeah. We never talk about that man.
Nope. I mentioned I liked him like preseason, and then he just, that was it.
Yeah, he's been a solid dude. And first base was weak this year. Pretty much.
Yeah, that pretty much is it. Like, if you're looking at people that are first basemen that are clearly better than him, I'm thinking, like, Rizzo, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's most.
Well, do you have anything else to add there?
Sure. And I think this is my true full-on MVP. My favorite of the phase.
Here it is.
And that's Walker Buehler, the Los Angeles Dodgers starting pitcher. I was worried about him earlier coming onto the season. He struggled a little bit out the gate, but he's really rebounded nicely. Ranked 35th in the league among all fantasy players, 12 wins on the season, 3.28 ERA, 1.04 WHIP, 190 Ks in 159 innings. He's just been so good in the second half. And he's had two rough outings in the very recent past, but I couldn't be less scared because his stuff is so excellent. The advanced profile checks out great on him. I know we've talked about pretty much in painful detail about how pitching is a lot about location and it doesn't get captured as well as it probably could in advanced metrics. Mm-hmm. But his stuff is so good. I just think he's going to win you a ton of fantasy categories going down the stretch. And his consistency through the middle of the season is really a big reason why a lot of my teams are so successful.
Yeah. I mean, I love advanced stats for hitters, but for pitchers, I don't really care too much. It's nice to know where their velocity stands. Spin rate is super overrated, in my opinion. But all right. That's it for the MVPs. That's the people we wanted to chime in on.
Yeah. Those are my nice surprises, honorable mentions, doing their thing. I like them.
Personal impact.
Yeah.
For me, then we'll close. Closing time, where we close the episode with a little bit of closing information. On Tuesday, I was fully prepped just to talk about Mark Melancon, because all season long, I was like, guys, I just got this feeling. He's going to be closing. He's going to be closing. He's going to be closing. I didn't think he wasn't going to be closing in San Francisco, though. So now he's actually closing with Atlanta. My gut instinct came around. Never would have thought it would happen. But he's doing well and closing in Atlanta, so he looks like the full-time guy. If he's hanging out there, I think he's a lot better than some of the other like 45-56% owned closers in leagues that you can find. I like him more than like people like Wade Davis. Especially since you don't even know if he's actually going to be closing when he gets the next save chance. But what I will mention, and it's probably too late since you just did get the end of this episode, probably should have mentioned it at the beginning for you, but Okay, Craig Kimbrell down with elbow inflammation, so it looks like Pedro Strop probably going to be closing out the fantasy year for the Cubs, getting saves for you. So go ahead and add him up. In all leagues, his FIP and everything is looking really good. He's looked like, not really good, but he's looked pretty dang good, better than his ERA stands on the season, and he's been pretty effective as a closer. So he's worth an add as Kimbrell goes down. So that's it.
Nice. I think that's very valuable intel. Well done.
Anything you'd like to add?
Nothing much. I mean, I would just say keep an eye on the trends for a lot of these young prospects that get called up in September. They can be such an impact for your team when they come up and play well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get another Aristides or something that comes up and sets your world on fire and wins you a fantasy title. I mean, it's hard to say or look for that as a full plan, but I hope so. Keep an eye on some of these top players because you never know who's going to break out.
Beautiful. Good luck, guys. We'll meet you. Talk to you again in the playoffs.
Yes. Good luck out there.
Bye.